Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, March the 18th, 2018. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead us day by day. We thank you that we can depend upon you, knowing that you know the path before us. We ask that today, as we continue our journey, that you will continue to guide and direct in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to take a look at an article found in the Hill on the Hill website. And you are aware of the fact that there have been so many individuals who have been constantly talking about the possible impeachment of the president. And there are those who have been working towards that. But there's an article that I found on the Hill website, published on August the 29th, 2017. And it was written by Josh Delk. His first name is spelled J-O-S-H, last name D-E-L-K. Josh Delk, published August 29, 2017. The title of the article, Televangelist Jim Baker, quote, Christians will start a civil war if Trump is impeached. Again, title is Televangelist Jim Baker, quote, that's him speaking, quote, Christians will start a civil war if Trump is impeached. Now, for those of you who probably don't see Jim Baker today, but Jim Baker was born on January the 2nd, 1940. And he is still today an American televangelist. Formerly, he was an Assemblies of God minister. He had found himself convicted of a crime some time back. He was also the former host of the PTL Club, which was an evangelical Christian television program. Now, Baker is also known for building Heritage USA in Fort Mill, South Carolina, a former Christian theme park, which opened in 1978. And, of course, it closed in 1989. He has written several books. Now, this is the article, and let me give you the details on that again. It's found in the Hill website, written by Josh Delk, published August the 29th, 2017. The title, Televangelist Jim Baker, quote, Christians will start a civil war if Trump is impeached. Here's the article. Televangelist Jim Baker is predicting that Christians would begin a second civil war in the U.S. if President Trump were impeached. If it happens, there will be a civil war in the United States of America. The Christians will finally come out of the shadows because we are going to be shut up permanently if we are not careful, he said on the Jim Baker Show in a clip highlighted by Right Wing Watch. He also warned that Christians are in danger of losing their voice in American society. God says faith without works is dead. We have to do things. God has been standing with me, and I don't know about you. It's time for preachers like you. You've been doing it to stand up and shout out, Baker told a pastor on the show. Several House Democrats have signed on to a bill to impeach Trump. But Baker served nearly 5 years in prison for fraud and conspiracy connected to his original television program, the PTL Club. The former prosperity gospel preacher resigned from the ministry in 1987 after he was accused of rape by Jessica Hahn. Now that's the article as found on the Hill website, Televangelist Jim Baker, Christians will start a civil war if Trump is impeached. Now, if you just read that article, I guess you probably could just pass it by, smile, or perhaps shake your head. But there is another article found in the Washington Post, September the 25th, 2017. Now, this article is written by Richard Cohen. His last name is spelled C-O-H-E-N. Again, it's the Washington Post, September the 25th, 2017, written by Richard Cohen. And the title of that article is, "We Would Impeach Trump at Our Peril." Here's the article. "Forgive me for starting with a cliche, beware of what you wish for. I apply it today to the impeachment of President Trump, which is as fervently desired by liberals as it is currently unlikely. Still, with special counsel Robert S. Mueller III raiding homes and the FBI tapping phones, the unlikely is looking ever more likely. Sooner or later, Mueller is going to have to start dropping shoes. Trump is a dust storm of lies and diversions with the bellows of a bully and the greasy ethics of a street corner hustler. The chances of him passing Mueller's muster are slim. Just for starters, the firing of James B. Comey as FBI director raises questions of obstruction of justice, and the appointments of Paul Manafort as a campaign chairman and Michael Flynn as a national security advisor emit the Kremlin-like scent of borscht. The possible crimes line up like boxcars being assembled for a freight train. Trump is a one-man docket. Still, it's not clear that a president can be indicted, only impeached by the House, and tried by the Senate. The framers set the bar appropriately high. A majority of the House, two-thirds of the Senate, so high, in fact, that it has never happened. Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton were impeached, but acquitted by the Senate. Richard Nixon leaped before he was pushed. He resigned rather than await the inevitable. For impeachment-crazed Trump critics, at least one bill has already been introduced. Nixon is not a precedent, but a cautionary tale. He resigned only after the White House tapes revealed that he had obstructed justice. He incriminated himself. The evidence was so stark that several Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee who had opposed Nixon's impeachment reversed their positions. In the Senate, Nixon had no more than 18 supporters. The president gathered his things and summoned the helicopter. Nothing similar is likely to happen with Trump. He's probably not going to be found admitting on tape to some crime, a la his Access Hollywood confession, and like Nixon, retaining the evidence. Instead, any alleged crime is likely to be fuzzy, complicated, amenable to a tweetable defense. Trump's somewhat shrinking fan base is not likely to abandon him. They already know he's a liar and cheat, but he's their liar and cheat. In a speech last week, Arthur Eisenberg, the legal director of the North New York Civil Liberties Union, warned there should be no impeachment unless the case for impeachment were overwhelming. If that were not the case, he went on, Trump supporters would feel that they were deprived of their electoral victory. Eisenberg's caution is well-founded. Trump has already prepped his supporters to believe that an influx of illegal aliens almost stole the election from him. He has labeled uncomfortable truths fake news, or in the Orwellian concoction of Kellyanne Conway, alternative facts. He would surely lie in his own defense. He almost certainly would tolerate, possibly even stoke, violence. An article recently published in The New Yorker was headlined, quote, Is America headed for a new kind of civil war? The question sounds preposterous, but since Trump's election, the inconceivable has become conceivable. Trump's approval ratings are historically low. Yes, but that's nationally, not regionally. In states such as West Virginia, Wyoming, and Alabama, and in the deep Midwest, they remain high. In the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma, he remains over the 50% mark. How would Trump's hardcore supporters react to the removal of their president for a high crime or misdemeanor that fell somewhat short of a triple axe murder? Not with equanimity, you can be assured. Does that matter? Maybe not. But the civil war cited in the New Yorker article was not of armies marching across fields, but of civil unrest. A lot of angry people causing a lot of mayhem. The precedent may not be America from 1861 to 1865, but pre-war Europe. The recent skirmishes here between ultra-nationalists on the far right and the so-called Antifa on the far left are reminiscent of the brawls between fascists and communists that weakened German democracy in the 1920s and 1930s. The extremes sucked the air out of the center. In Yeats' enduring words, things fell apart. The center could not hold. After she lost the election, Hillary Clinton called for reconciliation. Al Gore did the same after the Supreme Court, in a partisan vote, handed the White House to George W. Bush. I cannot imagine Trump doing the same after being removed from office. He has been a miserable winner. He would be an even worse loser. Now that's two articles. And of course, that last article I read is from the Washington Post, published September the 25th, 2017, written by Richard Cohen. And the title of that is, We Would Impeach Trump at Our Peril. Now, in that article, there was reference made to an article found in the New Yorker. Here's that article from the New Yorker. Is America headed for a new kind of civil war? Published August the 14th, 2017, and written by Robin Wright. Here's that article. A day after the brawling and racist brutality and deaths in Virginia, Governor Terry McAuliffe asked, how did we get to this place? The more relevant question after Charlottesville and other deadly episodes in Ferguson, Charleston, Dallas, St. Paul, Baltimore, Baton Rouge, and Alexandria is where the United States is headed. How fragile is the Union or Republic? And a country that has long been considered the world's most stable democracy? The dangers are now bigger than the collective episodes of violence. The radical right was more successful in entering the political mainstream last year than in any half of a century. The Southern Poverty Law Center reported in February. The organization documents more than 900 active and growing hate groups in the United States. America's stability is increasingly an undercurrent in political discourse. Earlier this year, I began a conversation with Keith Mines about America's turmoil. Mines has spent his career in the U.S. Army, Special Forces, the United Nations, and now the State Department, navigating civil wars in other countries, including Afghanistan, Colombia, El Salvador, Iraq, Somalia, and Sudan. He returned to Washington after 16 years to find conditions that he had seen nurture conflict abroad, now visible at home. It haunts him. In March, Mines was one of the several national security experts whom foreign policy asked to evaluate the risks of a second civil war with percentages. Mines concluded that the United States faces a 60% chance of civil war over the next 10 to 15 years. Other experts' predictions ranged from 5% to 95%. The sobering consensus was 35%. And that was 5 months before Charlottesville. We can't have that here, we keep saying, but then we can. Mines told me after we talked on Sunday about Charlottesville that it surely could happen here. The pattern of civil strife has evolved worldwide over the past 60 years. Today, few civil wars involve pitched battles from trenches along neat geographic front lines. Many are low-intensity conflicts with episodic violence in constantly moving locales. Mine's definition of a civil war is large-scale violence that includes a rejection of traditional political authority and requires the National Guard to deal with it. On Saturday, McAuliffe put the National Guard on alert and declared a state of emergency. Now let me pause here to let you know that if the National Guard is included, what will ultimately happen would be the declaration of martial law. And if that is put in place, then it means that the fundamentals of the democratic system would be put on hold. Now continuing that article, says this, and of course, let me remind you, I'm reading from the New Yorker website, Is America Headed for a New Kind of Civil War? Published August the 14th, 2017, written by Robin Wright. All right. Based on the experience in civil wars on three continents, Mines cites five conditions that support his predictions. Entrenched national polarization with no obvious meeting place for resolution. Increasingly divisive press coverage and information flows. Weakened institutions, notably Congress and the judiciary. A sellout or abandonment of responsibility by political leadership. And the legitimization of violence as the in way to either conduct discourse or solve disputes. President Trump modeled violence as a way to advance politically and validated bullying during and after the campaign, Mines wrote in Foreign Policy. Judging from recent events, the left is now fully on board with this, he continued, citing anarchists in anti-globalization riots as one of several flashpoints. It's like 1859. Everyone is mad about something, and everyone has a gun. To test Mine's conjecture, I reached out to five prominent Civil War historians this weekend. When you look at the map of red and blue states and overlap on top of it the map of the Civil War and who was allied with who in the Civil War, not much has changed, Judith Geisberg, the editor of the Journal of the Civil War Era and a historian at Villanova University, told me. We never agreed on the outcome of the Civil War and the direction the country should go in. The post-war amendments were highly contentious, especially the 14th Amendment, which provides equal protection under the law. And they still are today. What does it mean to deliver voting rights to people of color? We still don't know. She added, does that make us vulnerable to a repeat of the past? I don't see a repeat of those specific circumstances. But that doesn't mean we are not entering something similar in the way of a culture war. We're vulnerable to racism, tribalism, and conflicting visions of the way forward for our nation. Anxiety over deepening schisms and new conflict has an outlet in popular culture. In April, Amazon selected the dystopian novel American War, which centers on a second U.S. Civil War, as one of its best books of the month. In a review in the Washington Post, Ron Charles wrote, "Across these scarred pages rages the clash that many of us are anxiously speculating about in the Trump era. A nation riven by irreconcilable ideologies, alienated by entrenched suspicions, both poignant and horrifying." The Times book reviewer noted, it's a work of fiction, for the time being anyway. The book's author, Omar El-Akkad, was born in Egypt and covered the war in Afghanistan, the Arab Spring, and the Ferguson protest as a journalist for Canada's Globe and Mail. Before Charlottesville, David Blight, a Yale historian, was already planning a conference in November on American disunion, then and now. Parallels and analogies are always risky, but we do have weakened institutions, and not just polarized parties, but parties that are risking disintegration, which is what happened in the 1850s, he told me. Slavery tore apart over 15 years both major political parties. It destroyed the Whig Party, which was replaced by the Republican Party, and divided the Democratic Party into northern and southern parts. So he said, watch the parties as an indicator of America's health. In the 1850s, Blight told me, Americans were not good at foreseeing or absorbing the shock of events, including the Fugitive Slave Act, the Supreme Court's Dred Scott decision, the John Brown raid, and even the Mexican-American War. No one predicted them. They forced people to reposition themselves, Blight said. We're going through one of those repositions now. Trump's election is one of them. And we're still trying to figure it out, but it's not new. It dates to Obama's election. We thought that would lead culture in the other direction, but it didn't, he said. There was a tremendous resistance from the right. Then these episodes of police violence and all these things from the past exploded again. It's not only a racial polarization, but a seizure about identity. Generally, Blight added, we know we are at risk of civil war or something like it when an election, an enactment, an event, an action by government or people in high places becomes utterly unacceptable to a party, a large group, or a significant constituency. The nation witnessed tectonic shifts on the eve of the Civil War and during the Civil Rights era, the unrest of the late 1960s and the Vietnam War, he said. It did not happen with Bush v. Gore in 2000, but perhaps we were close. It is not inconceivable that it could happen now. What a powerful article this is, as found in the New Yorker, published August the 14th. 2017, a discussion on the possibility of a civil war. And of course, we're not anticipating it. We're not here predicting it. We're simply giving you the view of these individuals who see the seriousness of the times in which we live. We are indeed heading in a very difficult direction. There seems to be no union left. There is either the left or the right. And with every passing day, there is less and less of the middle. You and I need to be ready for all that will happen around us, for all that will happen in the world. God has already warned us of the times to come, and our need to be ready for those times. I will placed all three of these articles on our website, timewatchministries.com. Look for our Time Watch Daily and you will see them there. You may download them. But most important, you need to again talk with God today, asking Him to give you the strength that you need to stand with Him and for Him so that you might be a powerful witness and be prepared for the time to come. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn. We recognize the difficulties of the time to come. And we know that we can only stand if we stand with you. We thank you in advance for all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, March the 18th, 2018.